worship of God in spirit and in truth. So Psalm 110, this is a messianic psalm. If you did not know of whom David spoke, the Lord Jesus tells you in the New Testament. How say the scribes that the Messiah is the son of David when David in the Spirit calleth him Lord, saying, and this is what our Lord quoted, Psalm 110, the Lord, this is Jehovah, the Lord, said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And our Savior added, David calleth him his Lord. How then is he his son? And let's turn to chapter 2, which is another messianic psalm. In both of these, the Father speaks to the Son. He just spoke to him and said, sit thou at my right hand. And now, in Psalm 2, look at verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. Then will he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Notice, he set him at his right hand in Psalm 110. Now he is on earth. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Those are the scriptures we will read for now. And one other, in Mark chapter 2, in the New Testament, and then I will try to bring these things together. Mark chapter 2, and look at verse 5. This is when a man who had four friends who desired to bring that man to Jesus broke up the roof and let our Savior see this man let down in the midst. Verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins are forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak? He blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but one, even God? And straightway Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they so reasoned with themselves, saith unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, and take up thy bed and walk? But, that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he arose, and straightway took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, there has never been a man like thy Son, the Lord Jesus. How could there be? Let us know that there was the first Adam and there is the last Adam. And we are thankful for all the lessons that we learn concerning both of them. And we've heard something about your Son this morning, and we desire to learn more of him this afternoon. We recall that on an occasion after his resurrection, he opened their mind that they might understand the scriptures. And he showed them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, our Father, may we be like thy Son and know in all the scriptures the things concerning him. Bless us this night, our Father, that we may admire him more, because you tell us that he's coming back in a future day to be admired, to be marveled at, to be glorified by all of them that believe in him. And we are they who believe in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So give us food from thy word, that we may be the men of God that we should be, and that we may do the things that we should do as thy children. We thank you for this day. We have thought of him in a special way, our Father, as alive forevermore. And we desire now to hear about thy Son at thy right hand. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised, and glorify thy Son, the Lord Jesus, this night we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When Christ spoke, there were people that constantly were offended by the things that he said. Not because he ever said anything wrong, but because of their lack of understanding of the meaning of the scriptures. For instance, when they were asking him questions about the resurrection, he said, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." He said to those who should have known from their infancy the meaning of this scripture, "Go learn what this scripture meaneth." Would that not be embarrassing? Suppose you had a famous lawyer, and someone who was not a lawyer but a layman gave them a point of the law that they should have known, but they never knew. And he said to them, "Go learn this point of the law." How embarrassing. But this is what Christ did. And he discovered that having given them that admonition, they failed to carry it out because they committed that same error twice. He said, "If you had learned this scripture, if you had done what I told you and grasped it, you would not have condemned the guiltless." So the difference between Christ and men and ourselves is this, that he understood every scripture perfectly. We understand the scriptures imperfectly. We know in part. We prophesy in part. But Christ knew everything perfectly, the end from the beginning. And what I'm telling you now is Christ's understanding of the position that he had on earth, the exact relationship that existed between him and his Father, and what he inherently was, and his dependence as God manifest in the flesh. Now, what man failed to understand was that he was any more than the son of David. They had never grasped the scripture that he was the root as well as the offspring of David. Who can grasp how the same person can be the root, the author of David, and the offspring of David, one that sprang from his loins? Who can comprehend the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? No one is able. But at least let us look upon him and confess our inability to do it, and give him the place that God has given him. There are some who refuse to do this. Notice that when Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," some said, "This man blasphemeth." Again, when the Lord Jesus called God his own Father, they accused him of blasphemy because he called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And the Lord Jesus told them, as I brought to your attention this morning, that it is the purpose of the Father that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And the most glorious picture of Christ in his resurrection is this, that he is in the midst of the throne, or sitting upon the throne at the right hand of God, and every created being in heaven, on earth, under the earth, in the sea, every created being is acknowledging the person of Jesus Christ. But what happened was when he was on earth, they did not know who he was. none of the rulers of this world knew who he was, or they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And therefore, when he performed a miracle, when he pronounced forgiveness, when he spoke of his relationship with the Father, they said he blasphemes because they did not understand who he was. They understood him to be the offspring of David. At times he spoke as the root of David. At times he spoke as the offspring of David. That's why I read to you the portion in Mark chapter 2 was because of our Savior in the presence of dying men and in the presence of sinful men, knowing precisely what authority God has given him in this world. Man did not know that authority. When the Lord Jesus saw the face of the four and of that man coming to be healed, he knew that it was in his heart the desire to have his sins forgiven as well as to have his body healed. And with perfect authority and propriety, he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And immediately those who did not know who he was said, "This man blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Now notice, the Lord Jesus did not forgive that man's sins as God, but as God manifest in the flesh, because he said, "That you may know that the Son hath authority on earth to forgive sins." Inherently, what he does is equal with what God the Father does. But when he is on earth, he does not speak his own words. He does not act of his own volition. He does not do things of his own authority. But he said, "That you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins." He said in John chapter 5, "As the Father hath life in himself, even so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." And the Lord Jesus knew everything that the Father had given him. He knew all authority that was his. He knew that he was man. Now listen to this. Jesus says in John chapter 8, "You seek to kill me, a man that hath told you all the truth." Jesus said, "I am a man." And at the end of the chapter, speaking about Abraham, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He's calling himself the Eternal. I told you this morning, he said, "I am the living one. I am the living God." He said, "I am the Eternal. I am the one who is without beginning and without end." And I might bring this to your attention. You'll find in the book of Revelation, one thing said of Christ and one thing said of the Father, and then another thing said of Christ. But finally, at the end of Revelation, you find these three things said of Christ. He said, "I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega." Then there is nothing that Jesus Christ is not. If the Father is the first and the last, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the first and the last." If the Father is the beginning and the end, the Lord Jesus is the beginning and the end. If the Father is the Alpha and Omega, the Lord Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and Omega." So he knows precisely the relationship that exists between him and his Father. But on earth, understand, he does nothing independently. He says in John 5:19 and John 5:30, "The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father doing." He said, "I can of myself do nothing." He was under the complete control of the Father through the Spirit of God, and he wanted men to know this. But when they accused him of blasphemy, just as in the presence of death, it was no great matter to him. You and I are helpless and our hearts are broken in the presence of death. But the Lord Jesus, he was not helpless and he was not without ability to comfort the brokenhearted. He could comfort their broken hearts and raise from the dead and give back. And so in like manner, the Lord Jesus in the presence of sinful men who need those sins forgiven because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Because of that, here is a man who wants his sins forgiven. And the Lord Jesus said, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And it was not blasphemy. The Lord Jesus said, "I will show you that I am not blaspheming. I will show you that I have authority on earth to forgive sins. I'm going to prove it this way. If I have authority to forgive sins, I'm going to cause this man to be healed. If I am not able to cause him to be healed, I have no authority to forgive sins. And so, in simplicity, he said, take up your bed and walk. And the man did it. And they were filled with frustration. They marveled at him. Some of them hated him. And some of them said, this is the truth. Words like this, the prophet that cometh into the world. Now, this is what I want you to see, because I was telling you how much the Lord Jesus knew about his life, what was going to happen to him. And here, what is so lovely, is to show you the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and the authority that he knows that he has in his possession. In Mark chapter 2, he says, your sins are forgiven. And on the cross of Calvary, in his dying hours, a man says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus says to him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. How remarkable. Here is a sinner on earth, and he says, your sins are forgiven. Now, the beauty of this is that Jesus knew when he died where he was going. And he knew how long he was going to be there. And he said to his Father, thou wilt not leave my soul in the unseen world. Because hell is the word Hades, the unseen realm. He's not going to leave his soul in the realm of the dead. Neither wilt thou give thy Holy One to see corruption. And so the Lord Jesus knew, I told you, when he was going to die, where he was going to die, how he was going to die. But he also knew this. He knew where he was going when he died. And that is the remarkable thing. You and I know nothing about where we're going when we die, unless the Lord Jesus told you. That the Lord Jesus knew exactly where he was going. Why? Because he said, I've been there from all eternity. I was with my Father from the beginning. I came down from heaven into the world. I came out from the Father into the world. Again, I leave the world and go unto the Father. And this is what is glorious. That a man whose life had been one of sin, and he was being crucified because of his wickedness, the Lord Jesus hears him say, remember me. And the Savior says, you come with me to heaven. Who but the Lord Jesus could say such a thing? Now, why this is so meaningful to me is because of the authority that Christ has not only to forgive sins, but to take sinners by the hand and lead them into the presence of his Father. When I was a little boy, I lived in a middle-class neighborhood. We never had much, but before the Depression, my father had a house that was paid for and a little money laid aside. But I remember down the street and not far in another part of town, there were poor ones. I remember there was a certain part of town, and I had a friend that went to school with me because I was a few blocks in one direction from the school, and this poor boy was a few blocks from the school in another direction. And when we came together at school, just like children do, we played together on the playground, and then after school, I said, Billy, why don't you come home with me? And he said, I would like to. And I was able to take this one who had no social standing, who had not proper clothing, who lived in a very humble abode in a low section of town. And yet, I took that boy home, and I said, Mother, this is Billy. And Mother said, hello, Billy. Won't you have something to eat with us? Isn't that a remarkable thing? That I knew I had that authority. But more than that, I can remember it, and it's been over 60 years ago. Somehow, there was this store that was vacant in the neighborhood, and some gypsies moved in that store. And the gypsies went to the same school, and so I made friends with one of the gypsies, and I said, I want you to come home with me. And I took that gypsy home with me, and I said, Mother, this is, and whatever his gypsy name was, Mother said, hello, son, won't you have dinner with us? And that is what is so remarkable to me, that even though I was nothing, I socially was more than they, and I had more than they, and I could take them to my home, and my mother would gladly allow them to come in and allow them to eat and play with me. Now, the difference is this. The Lord Jesus is the Lord from heaven, and he looks upon sinners such as you and I. And when we sinners become his friends, because the Lord Jesus said, "You are my friends," he said, "I'm going to take you home to meet my Father." And nobody will be refused heaven's glories when Jesus Christ takes that sinner by the hand and says, "Father, I want you to meet this sinner who has become a friend of mine." And that is why when the Lord Jesus died, he not only knew where he was going, but at the same time, he knew that he had authority to take any sinner that would call upon his name to heaven with him. And that is my Savior. And that's the Savior I'm waiting for. Because he said to me and to others who were not on the cross like that thief, not, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." But what he said was this, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And someday, the Lord Jesus is either going to come and take me by the hand and lead me into his Father's presence, or if I die before he comes, I have no worry, because he has messengers. And what happened to that poor beggar in Luke 16 is going to happen to me. It said, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And now I have something more precious and a place more glorious than Abraham's bosom to which to be carried. There is the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ to which I shall be carried, or else my Savior shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, I told you that this morning the Lord Jesus knew that he should die and not live. But later, he knew that he would live and never die again. And this is why, before he dies, he knows from the Scriptures all that is going to happen. And he knows where his destination is. He knows his authority on earth to take sinners into heaven with him. And he knows also that those he leaves on earth, if they do die, he will come from heaven and with a shout catch me up to meet him in the air, and he will take me to his Father's presence. And he's already told me what he's going to show me when I get to heaven. I told you in his prayer. He prayed, "Father, I want you to give me that glory that I had with thee before the world was." And the Father said, "Yes." And he said, "And Father, there's another thing." Notice again, taking these that are his inferiors, he said, "Father, those that you've given me, I want them to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And when I was a little boy, if these poor ones from the neighborhood came to my home and I happened to have some toys that they did not have, they could see those toys. They could see the things that made me happy as a little boy." And the Lord Jesus says, "Father, the glory, the divine glory that I had with thee before the world was, I want these, my friends, to come, and I want them to see that glory. And so now, I know where I'm going when I die. And it is more than Abraham's bosom. I'm going to paradise, because paradise is probably a description of the abode of God, the presence. Because the Father's house speaks of where he lives, but then there are parks and gardens and glorious surroundings where our Heavenly Father lives. And that's what paradise means. It is a place of garden, of contentment, of beauty. And so when I get to heaven, there are gardens, and there is grass, and there are trees, and there are flowing waters to thrill my soul. And then there is the glory of the Lamb as well as the glory of the Father. And the Lord Jesus has authority to forgive any sinner. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. And whether you be one low on the social ladder, whether you be a gypsy, whether you be a Gentile dog, if you come to the Lord Jesus, this is what he said, I have called you my friends. And he made this remark. He said, my Father loves you because you have loved me. All you have to do is to love the Lord Jesus, and immediately the Father loves you. And if the Lord Jesus loves you, and he wants to take you into his Father's presence, all is well, because whom the Lord Jesus loves, the Father loves. And if you love the Lord Jesus, the Savior says, my Father loves you. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. So this is what Christ knew. Now, more than that, I told you that our Christ was so familiar with the Word of God, was so certain that what was written in the Word concerning him would come to pass, that he quotes from Psalm 110. Someday I may tell you of this. I'm going to speak to you on Christ and his knowledge of the Scriptures. But concerning this Scripture, he knew that it applied to him. He said, the Lord said unto my Lord. So here is God the Father saying to David's Lord, Jesus Christ, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Think of this now. When the Lord Jesus is raised from the dead, so little was there displeasure of God in that death. But the Father was glorified by the death of Christ. When our Savior said, Father, glorify thy name, the Father said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the Father was infinitely glorified by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, having had his name glorified when Christ is raised from the dead at his ascension, the Father says, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. So after he has accomplished the work of the Father on earth, he goes to heaven and is given the place of honor. You remember the other week I told you this, that James and John wanted to sit on the right hand and on the left hand of Christ in his kingdom. Well, the Lord Jesus did not even ask, but the Father said to him, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool. And that is the place that Christ went to heaven and occupied. And for the first time in all eternity, a glorified man entered heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he was worshipped as the glorified, incarnate, resurrected one. In Isaiah 6, he was worshipped before his incarnation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. But now in heaven, he is worshipped again as the man at God's right hand. This is our Savior, and this is what lay before Christ when he was raised from the dead. First of all, an invitation at his ascension, sit on my right hand. That is how well the work of Christ was accomplished on earth, that he is given the highest place in the universe, the place at God's right hand. Now, there is something else. So intimate is the relationship between the Father and the Son, that he who has been, and officially his position is there, whatever his physical location might be, Christ is seated at God's right hand. So intimate is the relationship between the two that the Father says to the Son, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now, here are some who say, I will give you the half of my kingdom. And God looks at the earth and he says, you ask me, and I will give you the entirety of the earth, the whole earth. You see, Satan offered it to him in his temptation. He said, if you will worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms and the glory of them. The Lord Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But in the coming day, that offer is given to him again. Listen, Satan said, worship me, and I will give you these things. The Lord Jesus sent him away. And now in heaven, the Father says the same thing. He says, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And the Lord Jesus, in contentment, is seated at God's right hand, waiting for the vanquishing, the working out of the will of God in this age, until the church is completed, until all the purposes of God are finished, and then he shall descend from heaven with a shout, and take us to be in heaven with him. But I told you this morning that Christ had authority to lay down his life and to take it again. He knew exactly how long he would be dead, and he had the authority to say, I've been dead long enough, and I want to be raised from the dead. In like manner, the Son in heaven is seated at God's right hand, and when the time comes, and he will look over the conditions of the earth, knowing that the last redeemed sinner is in his possession, and he shall say, now I want the heathen for my inheritance and the uttermost parts of the possessions for mine. And God will say, take it. And that is when our Savior is going to come back from heaven. And our Savior knew all of these things. That is why it is a study in itself of Christ and his knowledge of the Scriptures. But let me just tell you this. I told you that he knew that he was going to die that night. He said, it is written, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. He knew when he was going to die. He knew how he was going to die. He knew that he would suffer at the hands of men, the Jewish authorities, and also the Gentiles. But he knew that he would suffer at the hand of God as well. And that is perhaps why, as he faced death, there was this sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, and asking, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He knew all of those things in advance. But having known those things, having accepted those things, now having accomplished them, being in heaven, the Father is just waiting for him to say, give me the earth, the heathen, for my inheritance. And the Father shall give it. And then the Lord Jesus shall come from heaven. We shall be caught up to be with him. And then, here is what some mistakenly believe, that we're never going to set foot on earth again. But the Bible says, thus shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, if a man serve me, he will be with me where I am. And the Lord Jesus said this to the 12 apostles. He said, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, that's the throne of David, spoken of in Luke chapter 1, he said, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Do not tell me that we have no earthly portion in Christ. We have that heavenly portion. Yes, I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But I have a heavenly relationship and an earthly relationship. Just like the Jews, who are God's earthly people, they also have a heavenly relationship. When you look at that holy city, the New Jerusalem, tell me, whose names are on the gates, the 12 gates of those cities? You say, why, the 12 sons of Jacob. Why, of course they are, at the very gates of the city. And whose names are on the foundation? Why, the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There is that uniting. But what Christ knows is that all of these things are true, and all of these things concern him. And having known it in advance, he tells us. So the Lord Jesus now is in heaven. And the Lord Jesus is there when people such as Stephen lay down their lives for Christ. The Lord Jesus is standing, honoring them as they lay down their lives for him, as he laid down their life for them. And as he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And so Stephen and all other martyrs can say, Lord Jesus, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And so this is our Savior. He is our Lord. Worship thou him. That's enough. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for this man who has found us. Let us know that we thought we were searching after God, but we discover that he had been searching for us. And when we thought we found him in reality, it was the shepherd that had gone forth looking for the lost sheep, and he had found us. We are thankful, our God, for this glorious position into which we have been brought as your children. We know what we were. But now, Father, we know what we are in Christ Jesus, blessed with every spiritual blessing, heirs of God and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ, having an eternity of hope before us. And whatever is in this life, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. There is going to be that day of regeneration. There is going to be that day when new heavens and new earth and a new order shall be established, and the Lord Jesus will be the head of it all, and we shall be with him in glory. We thank you, Father. We pray that we might be found worthy of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be counted worthy of the salvation that he's given us so freely. Help us to be the men and women of God we should. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.